It has been a rough week for people who live in and around Cumberland, Maryland. The 372nd Military Police Company is based right near there. That's one of the Army units at the center of the prisoner abuse scandal, and some of the soldiers who were accused grew up in the area. NPR's Art Silverman visited Cumberland yesterday, and he spoke with people there.
About 200 citizens stand in the noon sunshine on Baltimore Street. It's National Day of Prayer. Brenda Getz has one titled, Confessions of National Sins.
Forgive us, Lord, for our complacency to allow such things to go unchallenged in the name of God. Help us to forgive each other. Renew righteousness to our country so that you can bless America again.
She's not referring to Iraq here, nor is she talking about the actions of the Cumberland area people accused of abusing captive Iraqi men. Words much like these are heard here every year, nothing special. Children fidget on the curb, a line of uniformed Vietnam-era veterans stand at attention. Office workers, retired people listen or mutter their own prayers.
Let's pray for our national leaders. Lord, we call upon your name, and on behalf of George Bush, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, Donald Rumsfeld.
When Lauren Mooney speaks these words, he's also echoing sentiments of other years. He serves as deacon at St. Patrick's Catholic Church. But as Margie Poliska sings the Lord's Prayer this year, there's a difference in Cumberland. Watching, taking notes, pictures, are reporters from out of town, TV crews from France, radio reporters from cities hours to the east. But in this public forum, the thing on everyone's mind never gets uttered. Deacon Mooney says there's a reason it's left unspoken.
I think they don't quite know what to do with it yet. It's so fresh, and it's very disturbing. It's hard for us to understand how that could happen.
After Alan Snur of the Central Assembly of God Church blows the shofar, a ram's horn, the citizens of Cumberland disperse. The Vietnam veterans retreat to their nearby headquarters. There's a bar upstairs. These vets consider the reservists of the 372nd their friends. They even gave them a send-off when they went to Iraq. They mail food and gifts to them all the time. A planned homecoming party set for this month had to be postponed. The unit was invited to stay in Iraq until September. But former Marine Jim Malloy says the vets keep in touch with the 372nd over the internet.
One of the members here has a friend that's with the 372nd, and he emailed him and told him, he said, some pictures were taken, this was back in January, and he says it's probably going to hit the news, and he said when it does, it's going to be bad. And we didn't realize how bad it would be.
The vets sip soft drinks, beers. They offer an out-of-town busy buddy a glass of water, even though they've had it with reporters. The town's saturated with them, hunting for tidbits about friends, trying to follow the trail from small-town life to the insides of a Baghdad prison.
This is something that we usually sit and watch on TV in another town, distant away. To hit home like this, it's got everybody just baffled.
Nevertheless, these veterans of another overseas war have a lot to say on the subject of what happened in Iraq. Gary Carter was in the Navy.
You can't blame an area because of a couple people. But it's a black spot that the company itself, the 372nd, is going to have to deal with and straighten out on their own.
Jim Williams was in the Air Force.
It could be young troops, didn't know what the hell they were doing. They thought they were having fun. And then they got caught up, took pictures, and the pictures came down on them. I'm not condoning what they did. But you don't know how many of those guys lost friends that day or lost friends that week or that month.
One of the vets has something to add, but he doesn't want it on tape nor his name used. He's upset with Private Joseph Darby, the member of the 372nd, who told higher-ups that prisoners were being mistreated. That snitch, he whispers. If that happened in Vietnam, we would have made sure he didn't get home. A dozen miles north of Cumberland, the town of Hydeman, Pennsylvania. Behind the high school, the girls' varsity baseball team, the Hornets, takes a beating from a visiting school.
All right, we got to get ready for tomorrow. We got a big, big one tomorrow against NBC.
Coach Nelson Weaver tries to boost his team's spirits. If he could, he might try to boost the spirits of all of Hyden. Jeremy Civitz is from here. He's one of the reservists accused of abusing Iraqi prisoners. He went to the school. Many folks walk away from a reporter saying they don't want to talk about Civitz, but Coach Weaver does.
Yeah, I knew Jeremy. Jeremy played soccer for me for 4 years and wrestled for me for 4 years. And I just cannot believe that boy has that ability to do something like that. I just feel deep down inside that that's one good boy. I mean, I never had any problems with him or anything that even came close to what they said he did. I mean, the boy, as far as I'm concerned, the boy is of good moral character and the whole bit.
Out of high school, Jeremy Civitz signed up with the 372nd Reserve Unit, got married right before going to Iraq. His parents' home is across the railroad tracks in the center of town, yellow ribbons tied to the porch. By the end of the week, his parents have made the decision to stop talking to news reporters.
We have no problem. We want you to just leave us alone.
Back south across the Mason-Dixon line, into Maryland, West Virginia arrives a blink later. That's where Danny Northcraft lives. He joined the 372nd in 1989. Married now, he's got three kids and muscles as big as pineapples. He served with some of the men who are now officers with the unit in Iraq.
In my heart of hearts, I know that the leadership of that unit would not have given the nod for the acts that I've seen photographed on television and on the internet. It's just so out of character for anybody I can think of in that unit.
He shrugs and tries to find a way to turn bad to good. He says the 372nd does have something to be proud of. That snitch, that hero, he was a local boy too. Art Silverman, NPR News.